This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Melikilikimaka is a thing to say on a bright Hawaiian Christmas day. That's the island greeting that we send to you from the land where palm trees sway. Here we know that Christmas will be green and bright, the sun to shine by day and all the stars at night. Melikilikimaka is a wise way to say Merry Christmas to you.
Oh, thank you, Bing.
Melikilikimaka.
You remember that song, Melikilikimaka? If you're in Hawaii, you know what that means. Merry Christmas. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy and partner, Big Ed Davis, thank you for joining us on this Friday morning, December 20th, 5 days. Wow, 5 days before the big day. Have you done your Christmas shopping? Is it any of my business? No. We will be talking in a few minutes with Adam White of the American Enterprise Institute, and we're going to talk all about the upcoming impeachment trial in the Senate. How does that work? If, in fact, there is one. So stay tuned for that. And now Nancy Pelosi is holding on to the impeachment documents. She's not going to send them over right now to Mitch McConnell and the Senate. Is that very sporting of her? We will ask the proprietor of the Barber Poll, Andrew Ceresi, if she's playing cricket or cheating at bridge on this one. And the Democrats hold a presidential debate and nobody cares. They had one last night. And since you did not watch it, we will fill you in on what happened. And in our Freedom Works Ultimate Top 10, we're going to change it a little bit today. We're going to change it to a top 12, the top monthly hoaxes perpetuated by the media. You will get a kick out of it. By the way, we are sponsored, Freedom Works, by Andrew's Master Barbershop. And for those of you in Tampa Bay, if you haven't visited his barbershop, and you're a man, you do not know what you're missing. It's Christmas every time you go in there. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, which is on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. You make a little north turn, and there it is. It's Andrew's Master Barbershop. You'll get a great haircut at a great price. Absolutely guaranteed. And do remember that Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m., set your clock, whether it's internal or on your bed table, to listen to our show, because our program, Freedom Works, comes on at that point on Tan Talk Radio, 10 to 11, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. If you can't do that, go to our website, ourfreedomworks.com. That's O-U-R, our. ourfreedomworks.com, and Big Ed has set up all our shows. How can you go? You want to give yourself a Christmas present? Go to our website, hit the podcast button. Every program on there is a gift. It's a gift. ourfreedomworks.com. Boy, we have a lot going on. I am beginning to think, you know, just when you think it can't get more bizarre with what is going on with this impeachment situation, it gets more bizarre. How does Nancy Pelosi, and where does she have the right to sit on the impeachment documents? Isn't it in the Constitution that once you impeach a president, it goes immediately to the Senate for a trial? And here's another thing. Why does the Senate have to wait for the stupid documents? We already know it. We know there were two impeachment charges, and the House found President Trump guilty on both charges. We know what they are. So why the ceremonious waiting for Nancy to decide to put her dentures in and walk across to the Senate and hand them over there? Ed, do you know anything about this, or am I missing something?
You know, I can't find anything that's right with the whole situation with the Three Stooges, Pelosi, Schiff, and the other guy, moron with the glasses there.
Nadler.
Yeah.
Jerry Nadler.
I noticed that they kept saying this is what the American people want. This is what we owe the American people. Not one of them had an American flag on their lapel. I don't know what that pin was, some sort of unity between them. But the other part was...
Did you notice Nancy wore black when she announced
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah.
Were you touched by that?
Absolutely not. I can't stand to look at her. but, you know, I kept hearing the American people want this, and American people want this, and we're doing we're serving what they want. And for a couple minutes here, I took some nausea medicine, and I turned on CNN.
Ooh.
And I looked for all those jubilant people that were in the streets dancing and partying and cheering because Trump was impeded, and I couldn't find one. The only thing where people were cheering was
at
Trump's rally.
You're right. In fact, we have a story about how little, and this is from the New York Times, how little people care about this impeachment. It's like you throw a huge party and nobody shows up. You know? It's kind of like that. But Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, he's a guy that heads the whole deal like Pelosi does in the House. McConnell incredulously declared late yesterday that the Senate and the House Democrats were at an impasse over whether the House should hand over the documents. Now, McConnell spoke after a meeting with Chuck Schumer. Now, I bet those two get along.
How much this whole thing costs, all this impeachment thing?
Millions. I don't have any idea.
It's got to be more than that.
Does it make any difference anymore?
Spent all that money for these pieces of paper. I want those pieces of paper. I want them gold lined and on a gold
and brought over in a
tray.
Brought over in a carriage.
Served with a buffet breakfast. I want to see those things.
Yes. Well, you make a good point. Now that would be good. It should be like the Queen's wedding. The documents. No, think about it. The documents are placed on a cushion inside of a gold lined carriage. And slowly, the white horses, you get it?
Those documents belong to the American people because we paid for it.
So, McConnell speaks to Schumer, the Senate Minority Leader, and he said that Schumer has insisted on, quote, departing from the unanimous bipartisan precedent that 100 senators approved before the beginning of Bill Clinton's trial. Concerning logistics. By the way, we're going to talk about Senate logistics with our guest in just a couple of minutes. Boy, I can't wait to talk about all of this with him. And he really knows his stuff. So Adam White and I will be chatting about that in a moment. But in the meantime, this is all bizarre world. And they're going to wait until after Christmas and after the New Year to deliver this. Now, unless Pelosi gets some religion between now and Christmas Day, the documents are going to be sitting in her bathroom medicine cabinet, where her dentures are. There would be right now because she needs both, right?
And don't forget the glue.
And the glue. So those things will be there until after New Year's. And I suspect that they'll eventually bring them over there in what you...
think they're going to drag them out, this thing out as long as they possibly...
Probably.
I mean,
that's the
fourth quarter. There's 1 minute to go, and you're down 45 to nothing, and you have all three timeouts, and you're going to burn all three.
Yes.
That's what this is.
Yes. It's like at the end of a basketball game with about a minute left. It lasts how long, Ed? About 25 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's what's going on here. It's kind of... it's crazy. It's crazy, but we're going to find out a little bit more about the Senate logistics in the impeachment right after these messages.
When boy meets girl, here's what they say.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for personal service, you can pick up the phone right now and call Lola at 727-441-3311. Again, that's Lola at 727-441-3311. Or for even faster service, log on to TantalkHealth.com. That's TantalkHealth.com. Here's your health and longevity.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Varshu.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Talking Sports and Knockout Radio is one of, if not the longest-running sports radio show in Tampa Bay, and heard every Wednesday from 2 to 4 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network. From football to MMA and pizza to travel, we talk it all. Every Wednesday from 2 to 4 p.m., we walk the walk and talk the talk. If you have a story you'd like us to cover, just go to knockoutradio.com and click the contact link and send us a suggestion. That's knockoutradio.com/talking sports.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back 5 days before Christmas here on Freedom Works and delighted to have back Adam Smith of the American Enterprise Institute, where he is a resident scholar. He is also an assistant professor at George Mason University's Scalia Law School, so he knows what of he speaks, and he has penned a piece for National Review Online called The Senate Trial. And Adam, I was very struck with how thoroughly you investigated this and very impressed. It was an excellent article, and I commend it to everybody. And in the article, you talked about the Federalist Papers and how we are able to get some guidance from Alexander Hamilton on impeachment. Would you expand a little bit on that, if you don't mind?
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me on, and thank you for saying such nice things about the article.
Oh, my pleasure.
These are things I've been thinking about long before impeachment, namely the structure of the Senate, why we have the Senate, what functions it's supposed to serve, and how it's supposed to go about its work. And so in this piece of National Review, I take aim at the suggestion that the Senate needs to act radically different from its normal business in the course of an impeachment. You've seen arguments that senators need to act like jurors with totally open minds, with total open minds as to the issues, the facts at hand. And I said, that's not the right way to think about it. We shouldn't think of them as jurors acting differently in impeachment. They need to think of themselves as senators in the best possible way. The problem isn't that they need to change now to become jurors. The problem is at some point the Senate changed into something else, something less statesmanlike, something less high-minded. And the real challenge is for senators to return to that model, not the impartiality of a juror, but the public-mindedness and the dispassion of a senator.
Yes, and in fact, you had mentioned that the framers did not suggest that they intended to have senators turn into judges.
That's right.
They're not going to change their spots.
Right. There's a few lines in the Federalist on impeachment where Hamilton talks about the judicial character of senators. And, of course, the Constitution itself says that the Senate will try impeachment. But when Hamilton says, when he talks about judicial character, he's not talking about their judicial character at a special moment of impeachment. He's talking about the kind of character that senators always ought to have. The whole point of the Senate was to check and balance both the presidency in ways that I detail in the article, like advice and consent, but also checking the House. And so when the Federalist says that the Senate needs to have a kind of impartiality when it comes to impeachment, what they mean is an impartiality between the institution of the presidency and an institution of the House. The House, which the framers expected to be very easily whipped up into a passionate frenzy on one side, and then, of course, the president with his own interests and his own passions on the other side. And the Senate, in this context, is supposed to do the work that senators are always supposed to do, which is, in a statesmanlike way, try to moderate the passions of these two parts of government.
Right. And you also mentioned, and I think correctly so, that they're not like jurors in a regular trial who come in and supposedly you want to get rid of anybody that has any knowledge and, you know, have people completely oblivious to what happened so that they can come in with an open mind. That's not at all what you're going to do with senators. Senators have a dearth of, a wealth of experience in their jobs and all of the knowledge that has been built into them as they approach that. So that's a kind of a good thing. And they sit as jurors with that kind of background, right?
Exactly. You know, in a court of law, the ideal juror is somebody who's never heard of anything, who's never heard of anyone, who knows nothing, and walks into the courtroom with no values and a totally open mind, just there to listen to the facts that are presented in the record and then make decisions based on the rules the judge gives them. That's the total opposite of what we expect of a senator in an impeachment trial. We don't want senators to be ignorant. In fact, sometimes we wish they didn't make themselves so ignorant of things. We want senators to be deeply invested in knowing what is happening in government, knowing the principles and the rules that they're supposed to implement. And by the way, the senators themselves, and maybe we'll talk about this, will have to make up a lot of the rules as they go in terms of process, in terms of what high crimes and misdemeanors mean, and so on. So the senator, in many ways, needs to be the opposite of the juror, not ignorant, but extremely intelligent and extremely thoughtful.
We're talking with Adam White. He is a resident scholar at the American Enterprise Institute and also an assistant professor at George Mason University's Scalia Law School. He has penned a piece called The Senate Trial, which has been posted on the National Review online. You can also go to American Enterprise's website to see it, and I commend it to you. Let me put you on the spot, Adam. Do you think if Alexander Hamilton was looking at all of this, he would approve of the way things are going so far?
You mean in terms of the process or in terms of the
I guess in terms of the process, because we wouldn't want to politicize him. Yes.
Yeah. It's hard to say.
Holding on to the documents in the House and all that kind of stuff.
You know, I wrote a piece a couple months ago for thebulwark.com saying that that we needed to worry more about the House's process. That Hamilton actually had a very low opinion of what the House would do in impeachment.
I'm beginning to see why.
In many ways, I think... Sorry?
I'm beginning to see why. Go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. In many ways, what we just saw for the last month would not surprise Hamilton. He actually says in the Federalist Papers, there's a good reason why we don't have the House try the impeachment, just bring the impeachment, because the House is going to be whipped up into a political frenzy. So in that respect, Hamilton, I don't think, would be surprised by what the House did. I wrote 2 months ago that if Senate Democrats, you know, don't think that the Senate, or sorry, if House Democrats don't think that the Senate is going to give this a fair shake, then they need to not live down to Hamilton's low expectations, but rather the House Democrats need to live up to higher expectations and really go about their own work in a dispassionate way. So I don't think, so, and the Democrats didn't do that. I think that if they really did think in those terms, they would have tried to call more witnesses with firsthand knowledge of the president's actions and motivations. They would have actually gone through a longer process and not held themselves to an artificial political deadline of finishing this thing before Christmas. None of that would have surprised Hamilton. Now the question is, will the Senate live up to Hamilton's expectations for what comes next? We'll see.
I am looking at a piece that has been written in the Tampa Bay Times. It's a so-called fact-check piece by PolitiFact. And one of the things they mention in here, speaking about witnesses, that senators who want to question witnesses must put their questions in writing, which is likely to make everything somewhat less raucous, according to this.
Yeah.
So I guess two questions. One, do you think that the Senate is actually going to go through a procedure of writing things down and then having them delivered to the dais? And secondly, do you think that either side will eventually call witnesses?
Well, I haven't seen the Tampa fact check yet, so I don't want to bust on them too much. But the fact is, there are no rules in the Constitution for impeachment other than the fact that the senators must swear an oath, and the fact that the Chief Justice presides, and the fact that you need a two-thirds majority to remove the president. So they said there are rules requiring written questions. Those are all things that are Senate rules the Senate's created for themselves, which the senators can change. We're now going to have this big negotiation between Schumer and McConnell over the rules of the Senate with Pelosi and the White House all trying to nudge the Senate in one direction or the other. So I don't know what the ultimate rules are going to look like. I really don't know. Mm-hmm. I have to say, I wish in a way that President Trump hadn't telegraphed so early on, about a month ago, that he really wanted a Senate trial, because he really gave a lot of leverage to Democrats in the House and Democrats in the Senate to push, to sort of delay a trial, deny the president the media gratification while they try to negotiate these rules. He really handed them, I think, some leverage that Mitch McConnell probably regrets, because now McConnell is stuck in this negotiation with Pelosi, threatening not to forward the articles of impeachment. And we should wait and see. It wouldn't surprise me if Senate Democrats threatened to just sit out the impeachment trial.
Really?
If they don't like the rules. At this point, nothing would surprise me. If Senator McConnell announces a suite of rules that he wants to pass by majority rule, and Senate Democrats feel that these are, to them, unsatisfactory, it wouldn't surprise me if Senate Democrats would say, we're not going to participate in this, we're not going to give you this audience. I think in the political age that we live in, nothing would surprise me.
So they would allow the impeachment to hang over Trump like a sword of Damocles all the way up to the election, no trial, somehow, it's becoming so strange. It's like, to me, it's like almost like we're starting to break up the Constitution and, breaking up everything that kind of holds us together, which is a good faith about our country and the rules of law.
Well, yeah, that is exactly right. And that's a problem that runs much deeper than the current impeachment. The question about how much of our Constitution depends not on checks and balances, but on people restraining themselves. And that is a huge issue that comes up in all things just like this. What I was getting at was President Trump and the White House have said a few times, especially in late November when Ambassador Sondland was testifying, that President Trump wants a Senate impeachment trial where he can be exonerated on the merits and where his side can call as witnesses people like Hunter Biden, Joe Biden, the White House whistleblower, and Adam Schiff. And if that's what President Trump really wants, and House Democrats and Senate Democrats know this, then denying him that forum, both by the House not participating in the impeachment trial, by either not sending articles of impeachment or just refusing to send House managers into a trial where they don't like the rules, or if Senate Democrats were to categorically boycott it, say, we're not going to stand in the background while Mitch McConnell has his show trial or whatever they say, I think we should prepare for anything like
wow.
that. I got to be very honest. I wasn't at all surprised by Nancy Pelosi's gambit a couple of nights ago. I've been telling reporters since the day that President Trump announced he wanted a trial on November 22nd. I've been telling people this is handing immense leverage to Speaker Pelosi and the Democrats, and we should expect them to use it. And now they might use it.
Wow, that's very cognizant of you to have thought of it that way. I would never have thought of this, and I wonder where she got the bug in her bonnet about doing it this way. I wonder who said, hey, Nancy, come here. Listen to this.
Well, it wasn't me. But most of my predictions turn out wrong, I got lucky on this one.
Wow.
But I suspect I'm not the only person who noticed this. President Trump really did. It was astonishing. If you go back and watch the video of when he called into Fox and Friends on November 22nd, or an interview that his White House Deputy Press Secretary gave on Fox's The Show on November 21st, where they were just demanding a Senate trial. And I think a lot of people probably woke up and took notice, including some people who have the ear of Speaker Pelosi.
I'll tell you, I don't know where this is going to land. So I guess we're going to end up having something maybe after maybe the week of January the 6th. Do you think there's any chance, Adam?
Yeah, I do. I do think. I want to say I'm not predicting that Senate Democrats will boycott. I think that's a very low probability of that. I do think we'll have a Senate impeachment trial. I do think McConnell
will have closure. We will have closure.
Well, we'll never have closure on any of that.
That's true. I meant closure on the impeachment process.
That's right. There will be a Senate impeachment trial. The funny thing is, by the time of the Republican and Democratic conventions next summer, this will all feel like 100 years ago.
Very well put. Adam, I want to have you back on again down the road because I really enjoy talking with you. You really bring to this conversation an in-depth look at what is going on. Thank you so very much.
Thanks. Looking forward to it.
All right. Adam White. All right. Let's take our break. And when we come back, you know what? We've got a happy and a healthy proprietor of the barber pole who cannot wait to talk to us about Donald Trump.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Don't miss the Craft Beer Hour every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. We'll bring you up to speed on craft beer events and festivals, local breweries, and interview the brains behind the brews. So grab a pint and listen to the Craft Beer Hour every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network and visit the website, thecraftbeerhour.com.
Let's Go Bowling, heard on the Tantalk Radio Network every Wednesday, 11 a.m. to 12 Eastern Time, sponsored by 12 Strike and Innovative Ball Spinner. If you bowl, if you haven't bowled in a while, or if you never bowled, why not you be one of 65 million people who have bowled last year? Listen to the tip of the week, bowling stars old and new. Let's Go Bowling Show, GoBowlingShow.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back on Freedom Works and delighted to have a man who is back on his feet after having surgery on Tuesday. It's unbelievable. Andrew, the master barber. Andrew, how are you feeling first?
Paul, it's phenomenal. Believe me, the Lord put miracle hands on Dr. Cole Bassani, believe me.
Oh, that's so good.
I'm walking pain-free, and I never realized the pain I was in until I'm pain-free.
No kidding. So it's the best of what you could have hoped for then. That's wonderful. So,
phenomenal, buddy. Phenomenal.
What a great Christmas present. What is his name again? Let's give him some...
Dr. Harold Culbisani.
Harold Culbisani.
Yes, believe me when I tell you.
I believe
he's
you.
He's the master of masters.
I believe you, and Big Ed knows something about that guy as well, and he also has... He's nodding his head as you say that. So welcome back, my friend. Okay. I want to mention something. The New York Times has a headline story saying basically that people are ignoring this whole impeachment thing. They discovered this week that few people around the country seem to be paying much attention to the articles of impeachment being passed on Wednesday. And here's what they say. It was a momentous day in American history, but by all indications, it was not a momentous day in the lives of most Americans. As history played out Wednesday amid the bombast and rancor of impeachment proceedings. Many of them seemed intent on looking elsewhere. So what do you think about that?
Well, Paul, you know, the people aren't paying attention to it because they know it's a big farce.
Gotcha.
That makes sense. They know that this whole thing was a pulled-up farce. They made it up. They made up the whole thing just to try and get Trump out. Now, look at Adam Schiff now. Now he says he wants to go after Mike Pence, too, the vice president, right?
Did he say that?
It was in the paper this morning.
I'm not surprised, but...
They think Pelosi's going to be president. But you got to be kidding me. These people are morons.
That's absolutely... And just so people know, the line of succession is if an impeached president leaves and is convicted, then the vice president becomes the president. And if for some reason they get him out, and I don't know what they're going to find. Oh, you're just too religious to be our president, sir.
That's probably about it. He's with his wife too much, probably.
You're just with your wife too much, and we suspect some criminal activity. So the next person is the Speaker of the House. That would become the president. And you're right. Nancy would have to pull her dentures out of the medicine cabinet and go to the White House. Now, that would be kind of scary, wouldn't it?
Well, it is scary because it could happen.
Wow. Do you think?
Okay, I don't see it happening.
No.
Didn't I tell you the other day she would try to hold back those impeachment papers?
Well, it certainly occurred.
It did.
Scary.
Okay.
And
she thinks she's pulling a fast one. You know, it sounds to me like she's asking for a quid pro quo because she's saying she doesn't want, she's not going to have no trial unless they know, or no papers turned over unless they know it's a fair trial. Hey, as far as I'm concerned, they need to use the same rules that the Democrats used.
You know, there was, I listen to C-SPAN once in a while in the morning, and they supposedly are non-biased, but I think they tend to be liberal. Anyway, they do a little program where you have call-ins. And some Republican woman called it, and she nailed it. I wish I could have been as eloquent as her. And in just one line or two lines, she said, they are trying to run Donald Trump out of office because they say he is involved in overseas political activity against a presidential opponent. She said, the Democrats went overseas to get a dossier
to run
against Donald Trump.
That's right.
And we
did.
And paid for it. And somehow that's all right?
Paul, that's how they look at things.
She says, what's the difference?
That's right.
The only thing I would add is it's even worse than what President Trump tried to do. Go ahead.
Yeah, Paul, like I said, this whole thing is a sham. Now they're talking after the holidays or after Christmas, they're going to bring these papers over. Let me tell you something. They aren't going nowhere. They're committing political suicide. I think it's like you said earlier, this whole impeachment thing is just going to blow over in time.
Yeah. Did you happen to hear this guy that we just chatted with? Adam White, he's really, I think he nails it. And I thought it was very interesting how the Senate would conduct it. It would be fun, though. It would be fun to haul the whistleblower into the Senate, wouldn't it?
Oh, definitely. Well, you know, wanted a trial.
Kicking and screaming, dragging him up to the front, just like in the movies. Go ahead.
And that's probably exactly what would happen, Paul. But I'll tell you who I got a vendetta against right now is Charlie Crist.
Okay, tell me why.
I am trying to get every Trump person that I know in the Trump Club to pick at this guy's house 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, so he won't even walk out of his house.
Really?
You talk about a scumbag. I can't believe these people voted him in, and you know who else is a scumbag? Was that David Jolly. I see these two. They disgust me till no tomorrow.
Now, David Jolly sounds like a turncoat to me. He's a Republican.
No, he's not a Republican. He's a Republicrat.
Yes, exactly.
He was a turncoat.
He popped up on one of the other...
CNN.
CNN.
On CNN. That's why, they disgust me when I see them. Matter of fact, they made me come out with a new thing that I don't even want Democrats allowed in my barbershop no more, Paul. Only true Americans are allowed in my barbershop. That means no Democrats allowed. And I mean it with all my heart because I don't want to catch their disease. They're disgusting, vile people, Paul.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, but
they want a great haircut. If they want a great haircut and they're a Democrat, they're not going to cut their hair?
Well, I had my cousin say, invite them in, give them the worst haircut they ever had in their life. But I'm afraid I'll catch their disease, and I don't want that.
Oh, my goodness.
And then, you know, it's my business, right?
It is. You can have anybody in that you would like.
That's right, and I want it known. No Democrats allowed, believe me.
Now you can
go get a haircut somewhere else.
You can put a little sign on your window next to your stoplight. You got, by the way,
I got the big electronic sign, Paul. I don't have a little sign. I got a big electronic sign.
You have a big electronic stoplight. And,
that's right.
It's either red for come back later, we're very busy, yellow for, well, you wait a little bit, and then green for climate.
That's right.
Coast
that's
is clear.
Right, and you know, people said about my philosophy, and you know, I've been speaking this since the day Trump ran. I told you I lost 30% of my business when I first started this. But my business has grown so much, and you know what? I've got all the people I like coming in there. And we all
That's
talk
true.
Positively what needs to be done with this country. And the first thing that needs to be done is we need to get rid of these Democrats.
He not only, and by the way, he packs them in. I went in there the other day while you were doing surgery. And by the way, I got a great haircut. I got a great hair. When I went back, my girlfriend said, wow, that is really well done. So
I appreciate that.
I mean it. Those two young ladies are phenomenal. They are phenomenal. You better be careful there, Andrew. I mean.
Well, you know, I'm trying to slow down a little bit. I only want to work 3 days a week just so I can put the other days to pushing for Trump. You know
well,
that.
You are doing that. So, you think. Do you think that Nancy will eventually march over there with those papers after New Year's and then?
No, I think she's going to try her quid pro quo. And like I say, but what good is it? Because they say technically, unless those papers aren't handed over to the Senate, he's not impeached.
That's right. It's the process is such that they will
he's
look at
impeached,
it.
He's not impeached. They can kiss my
non-event. It'll be a non-event.
And that's where I think it's going to stay. Because they are afraid, Paul. Believe me. And, you know, Durham is working big time. Big time. You see where he's going after John Brennan now? You know, he's a big piece of poop.
Now, we're talking about Leon Durham. He's the guy that is investigating, and he can bring in anybody, not just people inside of the government. He can bring former government people like Jim Comey, and he can bring them in, and he can question them.
Well, I guarantee you, James Comey and John Brennan and Jim Clapper, they've already been lawyered up, believe me.
In fact, talking about Brennan, he admitted that, I think, in so many words, mistakes were made in their going after Carter Page and through the FISA court.
He says, isn't it amazing that all 17 mistakes were against the Republicans?
Yes, exactly. Here's
I mean, come on. You got to be a moron not to see what's going on. These Democrats really don't see. They got blinders on. They're worried about one thing, Paul. That for the last 3 years, impeach Trump. They have not done one damn thing. They're making $174,000 a year, sitting there making jokes out of it. And this is what we pay these people to do?
So the USMCA agreement was passed. That's going to be a real feather in Donald Trump's cap.
Oh, no, Ann Pelosi says that's all her deal.
Yeah, but that's not the way it's going to go. No, that's a big one for Trump. Everybody, even the media, acknowledged that's a big win for...
No, Paul, I really believe come election time this year, the American people are fed up. I see Democrats I talk to that are fed up. Those are the ones I'll let in my shop. The converts.
Former Democrats.
That's right.
Democrats that are in the process of having a change. It's like going to the doctor to have those sex changes. You have to have a political change.
It's unbelievable, Paul, what they're trying to do, but they're going down. They're going down faster than the Titanic did, I believe.
Now, did you find any time to watch the wonderful Democratic presidential debate last night?
You know, Paul, I can't waste my time.
I know. I just wanted to.
I took my dog for a walk while they were on. Please.
Well, then you did something constructive. I did not. I actually watched some of it.
And no, you got a better stomach than me.
No, that's the thing. I don't know why the heck I did it. It was their sixth debate. There was only seven candidates up there. And I mean, first of all, every question was not only a softball, it was a helium balloon. Okay? Do you know what I mean by that?
Yep.
There wasn't one tough question. I was
all they're worried about, Paul, is their equal rights and diversity. Diversity. Yeah. What is this diversity? I'm so tired of hearing this diversity crap.
That's true.
You're an American, be an American, and act like one.
It was brought up. It was brought up. Andrew Yang said, you know, I'm the only one. And he was hoping that Cory Booker would be invited to the next debate. Now, Cory Booker is an African-American, and Andrew Yang is an Asian. And Andrew Yang was the only diverse person left, I guess, based on, you know, the criteria. But it was kind of fun watching Buttigieg and Elizabeth Warren get into it over who is hosting the most expensive party to draw money from the big corporate bigwigs.
Are they going to get 80 people?
Oh, well, you know, Elizabeth started it off by accusing Buttigieg of having all of these people into this beautiful wine-tasting kind of party. And, you know, that nothing but the wealthy that were there. And then Buttigieg turned around and said, you know, I'm the one with the least money. I make the least money of all of you out here. The rest of you were all millionaires.
Yep.
Including you, Elizabeth. And you were a Republican at one time. Well,
yep.
He didn't say that. I'm saying it. You know, she was a Republican. She has completely turned coat.
She's a wacko.
I'm beginning to
wonder.
You know
what? Dr. Phil can help her.
I'm beginning to wonder about that. You know, I'm not kidding. I look at those wild-eyed things that she says and the way she seems to look when she does it, and I'm thinking, I'm not sure I would want to be near her if she held a weapon in her hand. You know what
I
mean?
No, her, what's his name there? Adam Schiff. You see him? That guy's bipolar as they come. He's got positive and negative written all over his rear end, believe me. I've never seen nothing like it.
You are amazing. Andrew, I cannot tell you how happy I am about everything with your surgery, and I want to wish you a very Merry Christmas, because I don't think I'll be able to talk with you on Monday, but I mean, if you're available, we'd love to have you, but I want to wish you a very Merry Christmas to everybody in your family. And
you too. Oh, Merry Christmas to everybody out there.
That's great. And we really, really look forward to having you with us in the new year.
All right, Paul. You have a good weekend, my friend.
The same to you, buddy.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye. There he goes. The Master Barber. Hey, get in there. Get your hair cut, man. I mean, this is what better excuse do you have to go over there and talk with Andrew and his staff than Christmas? Okay, we're going to take our final break. When we come back, we're going to give you the 12 most biggest hoaxes every month, monthly hoaxes perpetuated by the media.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Are you looking for some great restaurants? For some great wines? Where are the great chefs? Listen to Dine Out Radio, heard every Wednesday on the Tantalk Radio Network. 12 to 1 p.m., we'll tell you where all the great events are. We'll have Food & Wine Magazine and Bon Appetit Magazine. We'll have their editors and writers on each month. And maybe we'll throw in a couple surprises. Check out the website, diningoutradio.com. My bridge is all...
Hey, everybody, this is Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We want you to join us on Sunday afternoons at 3 o'clock on this radio station for our two-hour show, talking to you about the Word of God, giving you great contemporary music, some lively chat, and just some food for thought. You'll be encouraged to know how very much God loves you and how He has a plan for your life. Join us this coming Sunday at 3 o'clock on Living the Good Life.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back for the final segment. As we listen to the Star Wars background music, I like that. Oh.
You know why I did that? That was for me.
Why?
Because tonight is the release of the final Star Wars saga.
Really?
And my friends bought me a ticket, and we're all going tonight, as it opens tonight.
That is so cool.
So,
where are you going to go? Where is it?
It's at Countryside.
Okay.
So it was
in the Countryside mall there?
Yeah. It's nice. You can buy your tickets online. They concocted this whole thing. I didn't know about it, and they told me yesterday. So,
well, you're a real fan. I didn't know.
Oh, yeah. I've watched them all backwards and forwards.
Oh, why didn't I know that? Yeah. After all these years of knowing you, I should have asked you more about that. Your secret is out.
Kind of sad, but...
No, not at all. I got to... No.
No, I'm just saying that
it's a great
ending.
Series. In fact, it's probably... In many ways, the greatest movie series ever made. Now, let me ask you this, though. Who is your favorite character in all the Star Wars? Who is your favorite?
I'd have probably say Luke Skywalker.
They killed him off in the last one. Yeah,
so,
and...
Carrie Fisher died on her own.
I know.
You know, but she's going to be in this one, because what they did was, in the last movie, there was a lot of film on the cutting room floor. And they piecemealed some stuff together.
Did they?
She's actually going to be in this one.
That's kind of spooky, isn't it?
Well, you know, a lot of actors have died before the movie was done, you know.
Will they bring back Mark Hamill, do you think, in this movie?
I don't think so. I think that's it with him.
Okay.
Didn't
they cut off his arm at some point in the movie?
Well, in the second one, he lost his hand.
His hand, that's
it,
right.
But other than that, they're just, as we know it, it's going to end tonight.
Wow.
I
hope it's a good movie.
Kind of stunk when they got rid of Vader, you know, Darth Vader. You know.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, of course, we all know that.
But real quickly, there's a new one starting to take over. It's called The Mandalorian, and it's Star Wars. And you remember Yoda?
Yes.
Well, go online and look up Baby Yoda. They've gone back. The Mandalorian starts way before all this, and Baby Yoda's, and everybody wants a Baby Yoda doll. Unbelievable. It's just...
Cute and cuddly Baby Yoda.
Big eyes and big long ears.
Yes.
And he makes little noises and he's already got the Force.
Do you know that they actually make little things you can put on a dog's...
Oh, sure they do.
Make him look like Yoda? It's kind of crazy. I want to talk to you about the Bucks before we go to, I think, a very interesting, what we're going to call Top 12. Mm-hmm. And that has to do with their game. Here it is coming up on Sunday, and they're going to be hosting... the Houston Texans.
Yep.
And I want to know, because all of a sudden the Bucks are playing well. Now it's maybe too little too late, but...
Yeah, it is too little too late.
Are they going to beat Houston?
It's going to be tough, because Deshaun Watson, their quarterback in Houston, is a running guy. Defense is starting to come together. I think it'll be a close game, and maybe they could pull it out. The bigger question now, the eyes that are on the scenario with Jameis Winston on whether... See, they're 7-7 now. If they win tomorrow, and this is tomorrow, by the way, it's a special game on Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
If they win tomorrow and they get 8 wins, Jameis will stay, but I don't think at the price that he wants. If they win their final 2 games, because they have to play the Falcons next at home, Jameis stays and gets whatever he wants. If they lose both games, I think they move on.
Wow. So this is a huge game.
Yeah, everybody's going to be watching that.
A huge game.
He's thrown 900 yards in last two games.
Yeah.
So everybody's like, wow, where'd this guy come from?
Yeah, I mean, they could end up 9-7, and I remember, and I would have done the same thing. I think you predicted like 6-10 or something.
5-11.
Yeah, so they've really done a lot better.
Yep.
Have to give them credit.
I think this might be coaching. I think what we're seeing here, because usually the trend would be they'd get close to 500, and all of a sudden they just fall off the cliff, and then they wind up 5-11 or 4-12, whatever.
So there is hope. There is hope.
Well, there's hope for what we always say is next year.
Next year, yeah. Well, we've heard that one before. Okay, it is time for our ultimate top 10, and this time we're going to use 12, Ed, because we have the top monthly hoaxes perpetuated by the media. The best one every month. Hoaxes, okay? And it comes from Grabie, G-R-A-B-I-E, Grabie News. A guy by the name of Tom Elliott put them all together. We're going to start with January and go all the way to December with your blessing. Here we go. January. It's the hoax that Catholic students tormented a Native American. Do you remember when that guy and his little group were surrounded by what looked like Antifa people, and then that Indian guy came up beating the tom-toms and in front of him? Well, sure. I do. And the papers went with the idea that somehow this guy had, this young kid, this clean-cut young kid had accosted the Indian. It turned out, when you watch the entire tape, the Indian guy coming up and beating the drum in front of him. Okay. And he's suing. Yeah. That kid's suing. All right. February. Jussie Smollett. Do you remember him? Jussie Smollett amplifies his fake hate crime in Chicago. Do you remember all of that?
No. Nope.
You don't remember when Jussie Smollett said that he was attacked by a bunch of white guys?
Oh, yeah, yeah, the actor. Okay.
The hoax of Jussie Smollett and how the media picked up on that, right?
Yep.
All right, March. Mueller delivers the media a dud.
Yep.
He comes over with the Mueller report, and doggone it, Donald Trump did not collude with the Russians. So sad for the media, right? Okay, April. That's when they had the White House Correspondents' Dinner. And they dropped comedy for all of this Trump hate. I don't know if you remember that.
Yep.
But they were going after Trump. They had a comedian that probably will never speak before the Correspondents' Dinner again, saying some very, very bad, distasteful things. Okay, May. The media defends our buddy Uncle Joe Biden of manhandling girls. They defended him. Remember how he would wrap his arms around all of
them? Smell their hair. And
yeah, good old, I mean, come on.
I remember when I was in
the pool. That's a scary Uncle Joe.
Kids would rub my leg.
That's a
hair
scary
on my
man.
Leg.
That's a scary man. All right, June. Believe it or not, in June, the media defended Antifa. You know that crazy group?
Yeah.
Portland, in Portland, Antifa assaulted a reporter. It was the latest in a series of attacks. This guy, Andy Ngo, the reporter, was hospitalized. He was really beat up. All right, July. The woke media attacked the space landing on the 50th anniversary. Instead of, you know, making us all feel proud about what was accomplished, they were talking a little bit about Soviet Russia's space program and things about there were too many just white people involved in the whole program. All right, August. Chris Cuomo goes full Fredo. His temper erupted when a man at a Shelter Island bar called him Fredo. Okay, September. The media goes gaga for Greta. That's the 16-year-old climate activist.
Yep.
They went gaga. October. The media freaks out over an obscure Trump memo. When they found a crude video depicting Trump as a character from the film The Kingsman, Secret Service. And in the film, the protagonist goes on a rampage inside of a church while they put Trump's head on the bad guy. All right, November. Jeffrey Epstein's story did not kill itself. You remember that one? All right, and finally, December. Gotta hurry this one up. Department of Justice Inspector General pops the media's Trump dossier bubble. We know all about it, right? Thank you for listening. We will be back on Monday, but always remember, freedom works.